In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. Receive the blessings and the peace of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Beloved listeners, wherever you may be, I pray that you are protected, guarded, and nurtured under the caring, compassionate love of our Heavenly Father through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and His Holy Spirit. Praise and glory be to His holy name, for He has given us yet another gift. These are His provisions that we come together to discuss the Holy Scriptures, and to talk about our Heavenly Creator, period. How beautiful and how blessed it is for brothers to be worshipping together, the psalmist says, but we too, this is a like a worship service. When we talk about Heavenly, when we talk about God, our Creator, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, we talk in awe, in respect, in reverence, in utmost reverence and in worship. Today's not Monday. Yes, I know, it's Wednesday. This is a special program as we have entered our battlefield with Satan during this period of fasting. I thought that possibly every Wednesdays we can have a different program to encourage one another to, G each other up, to hype each other up to continue this battle as we have entered, as I said, the battlefield with Satan and his special forces. This is fasting, you know, when we pray, when we fast, when we read the Holy Scriptures, when we contemplate on God, we have an enemy that is trying to devour that and to adamantly tear us away from that. So there is a battle, and it's a spiritual battle. So we have entered this battlefield, and those who haven't, who are standing aside on the sidelines, come in, come and join us. Yes, it's not easy. just the word itself, battle. It's a fight. It's an outward war against the enemy. And we encourage you to join us in this battlefield. Meaning, you know, offer your fast, your prayers. Come to the Lord through your fasting. Saint Paul writes to his son. He calls the bishop Timothy in his first epistle to Timothy, chapter 6. Verse 12, and fight in the good contest of faith. That means, you know, fight a good battle of faith and seize eternal life, to which things you are called. We are called to eternal life. And you have professed a good profession before many witnesses. So I encourage those who are still sitting on the sidelines and watching those who are in the battlefield to come and join us. Let us join each other in this battle and strengthen each other through our prayer, our encouragement, as we are doing today. And we know that the special forces the enemy has are his various types of temptations and evil thoughts and deeds and desires, struggles, pleasures of the world, pride, lust, disease, immoral desires, foolishness, weakness. Yeah, the list goes on and on. Shortfalls. Hatred, complacency, carelessness, selfishness. You know, it's more than mere not eating meat, isn't it? It's not just about not eating meat and eating mash and loche, beans and lentils, you know. This week we begin our second week of fasting. And what we should be doing is We should be contemplating, we should be meditating, we should be pondering and praying for the revelation of the evil that has lurked and is lurking and has made its abode, its resting place, its dwelling place within us. When I say within us, our thoughts, our bodies, our souls, our minds, our feelings, our reactions, our senses, that's where he has, in his most trickery and deceitful ways, makes his abode within us. For the past 2 weeks, we have undertaken the greatest challenge of our life, which is displeasing, denying, rebuking, trying to conquer the enemy. And some may be saying, yeah, right, Rabbi. Yes, Rabbi, Pasha, Jenard, Father. You may say, look around you, Father. It's not as easy as you speak it. You know, words are easier than action. Well, right at this moment, I personally am not concerned about what's around me, what's happening surrounding me, but more so what's within me. Don't worry about what's happening in the world and what's happening around us now, society, community, politics. Don't worry, don't focus too much on that, because these things are expected. We're living in a world of wickedness. So a world of wickedness can produce nothing but wickedness. But let's concentrate more during these period of fasting and praying and meditating on the Holy Scriptures on what's within us, what's happening within us. You know why? Because if I am surrounded with hatred, but the genuine love of Christ, that is Christ himself, is truly embedded within me, my surroundings may disturb me, may cause me to stumble and to fall, but certainly they will not harm me. And when I say the genuine love, Christ himself, 1 Corinthians 13 love, the love of the cross, if it's within me and it's alive within me, then what surrounds me really won't harm me. If there is so much immorality, there is so much filth, there is so much impurity surrounding us, and the list goes on, but I am complete with the holiness, with the sanctification, with the hallowing of the Holy Spirit, who is active and in total control of me, then again, I won't be harmed. I will be attacked continually, but the attacks will not overcome. I must correct myself. I may be harmed. It may affect me, but it will not bring me down. It will not end me. If I have the genuine love of Christ and the fervor of the Holy Spirit within me, if there are various trials, temptations, and I have an unwavering faith in the power of the name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, I can overcome and conquer everything. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 6, the second most amazing thing that Simon did and fulfilled and was able to do after receiving and being empowered by the Holy Spirit is this. Look at the beautiful words that came out of his mouth. I have no gold, I have no silver. It's not about money, it's not about wealth. But what I do have, and Simon is not being selfish and saying what I do have, it's mine. No, Simon is speaking on behalf of all those who have confessed the Lord to be their Savior, the Christ, the only Son of God. Look at what we have. And we should too give to others that in the name of Jesus, the Christ, the Nazarene, stand up and walk in the name of Jesus. So regardless what's around me, what's surrounding me, I'm going to speak about that, how we always use that as an excuse. And it's such a weak excuse when it comes to Christianity and the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So if I am surrounded, but I have a faith that is unshakable, unwavering, and that faith is in the power of the name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, I too can conquer, and I will possibly be harmed and affected, but I will not be conquered. In John chapter 16, verse 23, Jesus said, excuse me, "And in that day, you will not ask me anything. Timeless truth I speak to you." This is the Peshitta version. "Everything that you shall ask my Father in my name, he shall give it to you." So how powerful is the name of my Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior Jesus Christ, that when we ask God the Father, the creator of the universe, heaven and earth, and we ask in Jesus' name, he, the Father, will give us. There is the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Please mind the neighbor's dog. This is our Buster, is it? That's his name. Dina, you got to do something about your dog. I mean, I know. I think Dina listens to these as well. In any case, let's focus. You know, how coincidental it is. We're talking about the enemy and attacking us and you have a dog barking. Anyway, in the joys and pleasures surrounding us, and we're talking about not focusing about what's around us, and using that as an example, the pressure of the world, you know, during this time of Lent. If the joys and pleasures surrounding us are adamant to draw us near to them through any means, social media, television, just what's around us, but I contemplate and I read and I focus on the lives of the holy saints who conquered them, and I try to walk the path of the holy saints, then I too will be crowned as they did. I encourage you to read the biographies, the histories of the lives of the holy saints. You know, this is one of the Christian virtues and one of the Christian responsibilities. And what we need to do is to read about those who went through all those struggles, worse than you and I, possibly, and yet they overcame and they conquered. And yes, I admit that if we backslide and we fall to the intensity of what is surrounding us, yes, and I mentioned that, you know, I may be affected, we may be affected, we may backslide, we may fall. But if we believe that we have a high priest, Hebrews 4:15, we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, praise and glory be to his name, the name above all names. The name above all names. Do not even dare, do not go there to put any name alongside the name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, by whom only God the Father was pleased. Only Jesus Christ. And if we know that we have this high priest who will suffer with us in our weaknesses, why? Because, and he did that on the cross, because he went through everything that you and I claim that is so hard to go through, yet he didn't sin. He conquered. And that's why he has sympathy. That's why Christ suffers with us when we are in this weakness. And we believe in that and take that as our point of encouragement, as an encouragement verse, that Jesus knows what you and I are going through. So let's not harp on the baseless excuses that we use to justify the evil and justify our evil by our surroundings. Let's not use that as an excuse. Actually, what we should do during this time, and as God does, is use the evil around us for our own strength and for our own benefit and the benefit of others regardless. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38, which is one of the readings of the Gospels during this Lenten period. Excuse me, I'm coming over, recovering from a cold. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38, to the end. This is the reading, but I'm going to look at verse 38. Eye for eye, listen to this. This is God allowing in Exodus chapter 21, verse 24. You know, I'm going to read that verse. That's what Jesus is quoting. An eye in exchange for an eye, a tooth in exchange for a tooth, a hand in exchange for a hand, a foot in exchange for a foot. Sounds cruel, huh? Or maybe even a little cool. Hey, you know, there you go. There's my key to taking revenge. Why was this allowed? Was it allowed? Was it permitted so that one could, you know, fulfill the anger and could take out his wrath and anger and frustration on one who is hurting or, you know, causing pain? Well, no, it wasn't. That wasn't God's purpose. God didn't say, you can go and, take your revenge and you can sort your own problems out when someone hurts you. No, because that goes against what Christ tells us. You know, the scriptures say, you know, give time, allow for God's vengeance. But why is this recorded in scripture? Why does God permit that? Was that to deter people from harming one another? As St. John Chrysostom comments in verse 38, Jesus instructs us not to resist the devil. In this verse, he says, do not resist devil, or do not rise up against. Well, it's not actually do not resist the devil, but use reverse psychology, theology, spiritual psychology, because we know that those who harm or afflict us in any shape or form are doing it under the auspices or the influence of Satan. It's evil. You see, all good comes from God. Nothing but good comes from God. Now, God may allow evil upon us, but there's a reason for that. There's a purpose for that. All good comes from God, and all evil, all bad, comes from Satan. Now, God, as I said, may at times use bad or evil for our reforming, you know, reshaping, educating, rebuking, remolding, strengthening. Let me give you an example. When you punch someone to hurt someone, unless it's a friendly gesture. And that sometimes hurts. I may go up to Stephen and say, hey, Stephen, and I punch him on the shoulder. And sometimes there are points in the shoulder where you can just touch and it hurts. And go, oh, that hurt, Rabbi. My intention was not to hurt, right? My intention was through pain to show him how much I love him, right? But let's use that as an example. Punching someone is causing someone harm, pain. It's evil. But you see in the karate instructors, what they do to their students? They actually stomp them on the stomach, then they punch them, they kick them in the stomachs, what? So that they can strengthen the abs, I think it is. What is it? The stomach, huh? Yeah. What about when I watch rugby league and the players are in the change rooms and they're psyching themselves up and then they stand next to you in front of one another and they slap each other in the face, and you can tell that hurts because you can see the hand marks on the face too. But what, you know, that's so you can encourage and you can build that person to come on, we're going in a battlefield now, and they start screaming, yeah. You know, or you see those who punch someone and they fall on the ground in a ring, and then they go and stomp on their faces and punch them with their elbows and then stand up and say, praise Jesus. You know, that I can never work that one out, but regardless. But what it's the evil, it's pain to get someone ready for action. For this reason, John Chrysostom says, Jesus also added, but I say to you, do not resist the evil one. Now, be careful. John Chrysostom also adds, he did not say, do not resist your brother. Do not resist the evil. So if a person is harming you, is causing you harm, it's the evil. Don't go against the brother. Don't go and punch the daylights out of the brother. But don't resist that evil, the evil one. So we are authorized to dare to act in the presence of evil, to take on evil. However, this is the key point. St. John Chrysostom writes, through Christ's influence. Reverse psychology, reverse theology, I said. Through Christ's influence. In this way, we can relax, we can secretly remove most of the anger against the aggressor when we look at the evil, not the person, and understand that that is Satan. So how am I going to combat Satan? How do you combat evil? With good. So you do good to that person who is harming you. That's why Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Let me tell you, my enemies will never ever do good for me. My enemies will try to hate me. My enemies will try to slander my name. My enemies will try to defame me, character assassinate me. These are enemies. But Jesus said, don't go against your enemies. Go against that evil. What you do is you come back and you say, for example, you know, God bless you. I'll pray for them. I'll continue to pray for them. If they spit in my face, my reply will be, oh, God bless you. You know what? Who am I when my Lord received my spittle? Who am I to stand here now and to be utterly disappointed and want to take revenge? So what's surrounding me is not an excuse, beloved. That's actually a key, an excuse that Satan gives you and I to even further distance us from the will and the holiness of God. St. Paul sums it up so beautifully in Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil. See, St. Paul is not instructing that we do not be overcome by those who cause us pain, suffering, and evil. It's evil. It's Satan he's talking about. Do not be overcome by evil that comes from people, but overcome evil with good. Pray for those who persecute you. Feed your enemy. Clothe your enemy. Bless your enemy. Yeah, I can feel the vibes right now. You're probably driving, and as I've always said, concentrate on the road, or you're washing your dishes. You're probably thinking, yeah, whatever, Rabbi. Well, if that is the mindset we have in our Christian faith, God help us. We need to pray. We need to ask God to remove that evil mindset and to put us in that peaceful and loving mindset of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Imitate Jesus Christ. During this Lent, beloved, let us imitate Jesus Christ, which means suffer with the weakness of others as well. We too have at times been tempted in all things like they are, and yet we have sinned. There has been times where I have caused disappointment, sadness, maybe even hurt through my words. Not so much from my actions, but through my words. My sermons, maybe. You know, there's a word, yeah, sometimes you lose them, you know, how I've taken control over certain situations, certain circumstances. I may have hurt people. See, I have sinned. I have fallen. Satan may have worked through me and he has overcome me. So who am I then to be ready to take revenge and, you know, take vengeance on someone who is, hurting me and not knowing sometimes what they're doing? And it's from evil. So I must not resist the evil. I must come against evil with goodness. And I'll leave you with this verse, to conclude 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5. I think the best way to really see where we stand with all of that we have discussed is to examine our souls. St. Paul writes, examine your souls, your inner, whether you stand in the faith. Faith is not just praising Jesus. Faith is not just doing good and feeding the homeless and coming and attending church and fasting. That's not only mere faith. Faith is to see whether you truly stand in the faith. And the test of faith, as I've mentioned, I think in previous programs, is the test of faith is how you conduct yourself, your Christian manner, in a world of wickedness, in the most awkward and the most difficult situations and circumstances. That's where you test your faith. You don't test your faith when you're at church and you hear all these beautiful chantings and the prayers and the liturgy and you partake in the Holy Eucharist. That's not where you test your faith. You test your faith when the world goes up against you and how you react. So examine your souls, whether you stand in the faith. Tend to your souls. Or are you not aware that Jesus the Christ is in you? Jesus the Christ is in you. You know, yes, those who were at church 2 days ago, or 3 days ago, was it 2 days ago? They partook in the holy body and blood of Christ, the Holy Eucharist, the Qurbana Qadisha. Hallow your body with my body. He who eats my body and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. That's not only during that church time and when you leave the church, the body disappears and just dissolves. No, Christ is with us through his scripture, through the Holy Spirit, through our contemplation, our mediation, through his body and blood, through our Christian brothers and sisters. Christ is in you. And that if not, Paul goes on to say, you are worthless. If you cannot find Christ within you, if you are not sure whether Christ is in you, and how do you test yourself to see if Christ is in you, is you test yourself to see whether you are in the true faith. So during this battlefield, beloved, in this battlefield and during this war that we have waged against Satan and his enemies, let us focus on ourselves. Where do we stand as far as Christ's commandments, as far as Christ's instructions, as far as the instructions of the church, the liturgy, the Eucharistic service, the prayers? Where do we stand as far as they are concerned? Because, beloved, fasting without reading the Holy Scriptures or praying is a spiritual spiritual diet. So I pray that during this time, if you have dared and you are courageous to take on Satan during this time of fasting and Lent, and you have joined the battle, I pray that the Lord will strengthen you continuously. Focus on Jesus Christ. Focus on Christ's victory in the wilderness, where he truly was victorious over Satan and all his temptations. And if you're standing on the sideline, please come and join us in this battlefield so that we can encourage one another. May Christ be glorified at all times in all that we say and do. Amen. One last thing, please also don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share with your friends and family. If you'd like to suggest future episodes or give us detailed feedback, please visit the link in the description or on our Instagram, linktr.ee/double-edged sword. God bless you all.